1st, 2015. It's after 7:30, so I'm calling to order the council meeting for the borough of Edgewood. Ms. Bastianini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Here.
Dr. Wallace.
Here.
Mr. Wainwright.
Here.
Mr. Wilson.
Here.
Dr. Petrola. Mr. Fuller.
Here.
Ms. Schaefer.
Here, and let the record reflect that the mayor and the solicitor are also in attendance. If you would all please stand with me to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this time, we'll entertain items from the floor. If anyone has anything that they would like to say to address council, if you would please state your name and address and sign in at the podium, please.
Done. Good evening. I'm Jim Sismore, 115 Lincoln Avenue, member of the board of the Edgewood Foundation, and wanted to just provide a brief update for you on recent activities and upcoming activities of the foundation. There's, I think, a bit of an update given at the last meeting but about the annual newcomers reception, which has been held since that meeting. And board member Al Caruso chaired that for us, and he reports that it was a fantastic evening. 35 newcomers, including a few of their children, 24 organizational representatives, and along with the two hosts, whose names I forgot to put down. So there were over 60 people in attendance, and they felt it was a great evening and gave folks a great taste of what they could find in Edgewood. And so we thank all of you who were in attendance that evening. We submitted just 2 weeks ago a grant to the Keep Pennsylvania Beautiful organization, which among other things we relate to them in terms of promoting Earth Day. They do this statewide. And for our cleanup day events, they help us to promote that, and as well as similar organizations around the state. They are 25 years old this summer, and so for the month of June, once a day for 25 days, they are going to be distributing $1,000 grants in kind of a competitive grant application process. We decided we wanted to do that, we, the foundation, would be able to provide matching money. The grants are up, as I say, to $1,000, and you need at least a $500 grant. So with the assistance of the borough manager, along with some good background material information from the folks at Nine Mile Run Watershed Association, we put together a grant essentially asking to help us buy between 15 and 20 new trees to be planted throughout the borough by this fall. You're supposed to complete whatever program it is by the end of October. And so today's June 1. We didn't apparently get the $1,000 grant today, but we have 24 more chances, and so we're very hopeful there. Continuing on the beautification theme, though, want to note that Amy Andrews Hooks, former foundation board president and still member of the board, spent this past weekend at the entrance sign off of the ramp coming off of the parkway planting hundreds of bulbs, which we had received through a program from Phipps Conservatory last fall. So any activity that you saw down there Friday night, Saturday evening, or yesterday morning, that was Amy, and we applaud her, and I encourage you to thank her when you see her. And finally, on the theme, it'll be our turn on a week from Saturday, June 13th, to do the Brinton Road cleanup. And so we will be out there between 9 and noon. For any of you who participated before, we have all the materials you need, bags, gloves, vests, etc. And we just need the labor to help clean that up. The mayor and I saw each other over the weekend, and he mentioned that, I don't know how long it's been since, I guess, Forest Hills took their turn, but it's a mess again.
One correction, Jim, sorry. It was done today, so there are lots of bags
Okay.
I will be curious how much more trash shows up between now and the next cleanup of it, because the last time it happened this spring, it seemed to be just a matter of 24 hours, and there was already trash. So we'll see how it goes. I can't be there, and that's why I went ahead and today and took care of it.
I hope we get away easy on that one. But again, week from Saturday, June 13th, I'll be there for 3 hours. An ongoing commitment right now is that Angel Larian, our board president, and Arianna Mason, another board member, have been working with Ms. Bastianini to help where we can in planning for Community Day. So that is an ongoing basis, and we're glad to be participating there. And final item is to remind all of you and those present that we facilitate the Limpert Award every other year now. And so this is a Limpert Award year coming up. The award, if you're not familiar, named in honor of Edgewood Foundation's founding president, Bill Limpert. It was created in 1991 to honor him upon his retirement from the foundation board. Nominations are solicited biannually, and an impartial, anonymous panel judges the nominees. And these selections, their selection is typically announced at the Wine and Chocolate fundraising affair in November. And that will be the case this year. And then a plaque that lists all recipients is on display at the C.C. Meller Memorial Library. And a tree is planted. There's a theme here. A tree is planted at an appropriate site within the borough to honor the recipient. So we're accepting nominations for that. The deadline is September 15th, but we know these things slip away quickly. And on the foundation website, edgewoodfoundation.org, you can find the application for the Limpert Award nomination. And that's all I have. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Sismore. Is there any questions? On behalf of council and the borough, we do thank the Edgewood Foundation for your partnership and your leadership in helping to keep Edgewood, and to make it an even better Edgewood. There was a lot of excitement and enthusiasm from the new members to our community at the newcomers meeting. A lot of things that people liked about the community and wanted to get involved. So we'll all stay tuned.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you. And if you would send a thank you note to Dr. Amy. Any other items from the floor? All right. Then we have a wonderful occasion. Mayor Cook?
Yes, I would like to administer the oath of office to Officer Kenneth Sebastian, if you would step forward, please. And raise your right hand and don't repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Kenneth Sebastian.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Obey and defend. Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania,
and the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania,
and that I will discharge,
and that I will discharge
the duties of police officer,
the duties of police officer
for the borough of Edgewood,
for the borough of Edgewood,
with fidelity.
Join in the best, Officer Sebastian. Motion to authorize payments for bills for goods and services. Mr. Wainwright.
To authorize the payment of bills for goods and services received by the borough, having been reviewed and approved by the General Government Committee from the general fund in the amount of $30,645.24. sewer fund in the amount of $1,246.20 for $31,891.44.
Second.
Questions or comments? Mr. Wainwright?
It's a light month on expenses. All, nothing extraordinary to report. All routine expenses.
Questions for Mr. Wainwright? Ms. Bastini, call the roll.
Mr. Bright?
Aye.
Dr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright?
Aye.
Mr. Wilson?
Aye.
Dr. Petrola?
Aye.
Mr. Fuller?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer?
Aye, and the motion passes. Motion to amend the Civil Service Commission rules and regulations. Mr. Fuller?
I move to amend the rules and regulations of the Borough of Edgewood Civil Service Commission as approved and proposed by the Borough of Edgewood Civil Service Commission.
Second.
Questions or comments? Mr. Barry, you had an opportunity to review the changes in the rules and regulations as after our discussion from the last meeting.
Yes, I prepared the rules and regulations and made the changes that were discussed with the Public Safety Committee, and I believe that we gave Arlene Neff an opportunity to at least comment on that.
We did, and the whole Civil Service Commission received an email with the changes.
Okay, so they know what we're doing. We talked about it before. I don't have any further comments. I can go over those provisions with you. Again, what we changed, if you want.
I think are we good with that? Yeah, we were here, so. Any other questions or comments? Mr. Fuller, do you have anything you want to share?
No, it was pretty much we just did what we had talked about at council. We met with Mr. Barry, Public Safety Committee, and then.
Bastini, you call the roll?
Mr. Bright?
Aye.
Dr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright?
Aye.
Mr. Wilson?
Aye.
Dr. Petrola?
Aye.
Mr. Fuller?
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer?
Aye, and the motion passes. And you will let the Civil Service Commission know?
Yes.
And we want to thank them for their due diligence and their review and work on the Civil Service rules and regs. Motion to lift the ban of alcohol for Community Day. Dr. Petrola.
I move to lift the ban on the consumption and possession of alcoholic beverages by legal aged adults at Caning Field during Edgewood Community Day.
Second.
Third, fourth.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Then the motion passes. Motion to lift the ban on animals in Caning Field for Community Day. Dr. Petrola.
I move to allow the supervised animals of the Animal Rescue League and the Wild World of Animals on Caning Field as part of the entertainment for Edgewood Community Day.
Second.
Questions or comments?
This is allowing for the supervised animals. The Animal Rescue League will bring cats that can be adopted out of the booth and dogs that you have to go and the rest of your life for to adopt at the shelter if the weather's cool enough for the animals to be there. So this is not your personal pets. This is part of the entertainment.
Right, right. The motion is very clear as to what animals are allowed to be down there. So Cujos and bobcats have to stay at home.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Motion passes. Motion to approve the sublease on the Edgewood train station. Dr. Wallace.
I move to approve the sublease agreement between LGA Partners and Thomas Development Texas and PA Incorporated for use of the Edgewood train station.
Questions or comments?
We received notice that Lammy Grubb, now LGA Partners, had a tenant for the train station. Mr. Barry reviewed the sublease agreement between LGA Partners and their tenant. It will be for used for regular office use and occasional client meetings. They have 7 employees. There are 7 parking spaces at the train station, so this will not affect off-street parking. Mr. Barry, did you have anything else to say?
I'm trying to remember what this company does.
They are a land company that does title searches for oil and gas clients.
Right. They do I reviewed the proposed sublease. Mr. Grubb has a signed sublease with his new tenant, and as well as the borough sublease, a new sublease agreement with a new tenant makes reference to our agreement with LGA, and the new tenant has agreed to be legally bound by the provisions of our sublease. And I insisted upon that. That was the only comment I had on the agreement. Everything else I thought was okay. So he's done all that, and it looks good to me.
What is the time frame? How long is the lease left?
For 1 year.
1 year straight.
It's 1 year, yes. They have more options, but at this point it's 1 year.
Any other questions or comments? Ms. Bostini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bright.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. First reading of Ordinance 1053, transient retail businesses. Mr. Wainwright.
Advertise ordinance number 1053, transient retail businesses.
Second.
Well, we do the
read the ordinance
first.
Sorry. Is this by title or the whole thing?
No.
All right, strap in. Okay. Borough of Edgewood, Ordinance Number 1053, Transient Retail Businesses, an ordinance of the Borough of Edgewood, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Ordinance Number 856, providing for the regulation and licensing of transient retail businesses within the Borough of Edgewood, requiring persons desiring to engage in transient retail businesses to obtain license, and prescribing penalty for violations, be it ordained and enacted by Council of the Borough of Edgewood. It is hereby ordained and enacted by the authority of the same. Section 1 definitions, as used in this article, the following terms shall have the meanings indicated. Person, any natural person, association, partnership, firm, or corporation. Transient retail business includes the following. One, engaging in peddling, canvassing, soliciting, or taking orders, either by sample or otherwise, for any goods or other merchandise on any of the streets or alleys, sidewalks, or public grounds, house to house within the Borough of Edgewood, and two, selling or soliciting or taking orders for any goods, wares, or merchandise from a fixed location within the borough on a temporary basis, which shall include but shall not be limited to such activities conducted at the time of special occasions or celebrations for seasonal purposes or for in advance of specific holidays. Mobile food vendor shall mean a food establishment that is located upon a vehicle or which is pulled by a vehicle where food or beverage is cooked, prepared, and served for individual portion services, such as a mobile food kitchen. Section B, in this article, the masculine shall include the feminine and the neuter, the singular shall include the plural, and the plural shall include the singular. Section 2, license fees, license required fees. No person shall engage in any transient retail business within the Borough of Edgewood without first having obtained from the police department a license for which the following license fees per day, per week, per month, per year, or part thereof, which shall be for the use of the borough, shall be charged as set forth in the fee resolution. Be provided, however, that no license fee shall be charged under this section for the sale of goods, wares, and merchandise, and proceeds whereof are to be applied to any charitable or philanthropic purpose, or to any manufacturer or producer in the sale of bread and bakery products, meat and meat products, or milk and milk products, but all persons exempt hereby from payment of the license fee shall be required to register with police department and obtain a license without fee. Provided further, any person dealing in one or more of the here and above mentioned exempted categories and selling other goods, wares, or merchandise not exempted shall be subject to payment of license fee fixed by this section for this activity in connection with the sale of goods, wares, and merchandise not in such exempted categories. Provided further, the police department shall similarly exempt from payment of the license fee, but not from registering with it, persons working without compensation and selling goods, wares, and merchandise for the benefit of any nonprofit corporation. C, provided further, every license issued under the provisions of this article shall be issued on an individual basis to persons engaging in such businesses. Every obtain a separate license issued to him in his name, and the license fee hereby imposed shall be applicable to every such individual license. Section 3, application for license. Every person desiring a license under this article shall first make application to the police department for such license. If such person shall be also be required to obtain a license from any state or county officer, he shall, when making such application, exhibit a valid license from such state or county officer. The application shall give his name and address, his previous criminal record, if any, the name of the person by whom he is employed, the type of goods, wares, and merchandise he wishes to deal with in such transient retail businesses, the length of time for which such license is to be issued, and the type of vehicle to be used, if any. Section 4, issuance of license, display of license. Upon receipt of such application and the prescribed fee, the police department, if it shall find such application in order, shall issue the license required under this article. Such license shall contain the information required to be given on the application. Therefore, every license holder shall carry such license upon his person if engaged in transient retail business from house to house, or upon any of the streets, alleys, sidewalks, public grounds, shall display such license at the location where he shall engage in such business, if doing so at a fixed location. He shall exhibit such license upon request to all police officers, borough officials, and citizens or residents of the borough. Section 5, prohibited acts. No persons engaged in retail, transient retail businesses shall A, sell any product, type of product not mentioned in his license, B, hawk or cry his or her wares upon any street, alley, sidewalk, or public grounds in the borough, when selling from a vehicle, stop or park such vehicle upon any of the streets or alleys in the borough for longer than necessary in order to sell therefrom to persons residing in the immediate vicinity, D, park any vehicle upon any of the streets or alleys in the borough for the purpose of sorting, rearranging, or cleaning any of his goods, wares, or merchandise, or disposing of any cartons, wrapping material, or any stock or wares or foodstuffs which have become unsaleable through the handling age or otherwise. E, persistent speaking with the resident does not wish to speak with that person's solicitor. Section 6, supervision by the police department. The police department shall supervise the activities of all persons holding licenses under this article, and it shall keep a record of all licenses issued here under and shall make a report thereof each month to borough council. Section 7, suspension of license. The mayor is hereby authorized to suspend any license issued under this article when he deems such supervision, suspension to be beneficial to the public health, safety, or morals, or violation of any of the provisions of this article. Appeals from any suspension may be made to borough council at any time within 10 days after such suspension. No part of a license fee shall be refunded to any person whose license shall have been suspended. Section 8, rights and privileges, time restrictions. Any person who has obtained the aforementioned license shall be entitled to all the rights and privileges granted in accordance with this license and that of this article itself. However, let it be known that all such rights and privileges shall be applicable between the hours of 10 a.m. through 6 p.m. on Monday through Friday, and may not be exercised before or after said hour on weekends or holidays. Section 9, violations and penalties. Any person who shall violate any of the provisions of this article shall, for every such violation on conviction thereof, be sentenced to pay a fine of not more than $600 and costs of prosecution, and in default of payment of such fines and costs, to imprisonment of not more than 30 days, provided, however, that each day's violation any of the provisions of this article shall constitute a separate violation. Section 10, mobile food vendors exemptions. Any properly licensed business which meets the definition of mobile food vendor shall be exempt from the following sections of this ordinance. Section 152-8, mobile food vendors. Section 11, mobile food vendors time restrictions. Properly licensed mobile food vendors shall be subject to the following time restrictions with respect to their activities, 8 a.m. through 8 p.m., ordained and enacted into needed an act into law this blank day of 2015.
Of council that order.
Yeah, second.
Mr. Wilson, second. Questions or comments? You wrote this, didn't you, Mr. Wainwright?
This was basically the existing solicitation ordinance. I added the definition for a mobile food vendor, and then I added sections 10 and 11, which modified time restrictions for mobile food vendors and
days of the week.
Time and days. So basically, what does this ordinance say?
Basically, changes. It keeps the solicitation ordinance the same, except for mobile food vendors who can now operate on weekends and can operate between 8 and 8 instead of 10 and 6 for all other scissors.
So food trucks.
Food trucks.
Okay. Right. Yes. Dr. Wallace.
So if I may ask the chief, so if we imprison somebody for 30 days, is that in our...
That's the mayor's call, I think.
Is that downstairs? Yeah. Is this a county... we can transport these people to the county, I'm assuming. We're not keeping them here for 30 days. Okay, good.
Well, we better be careful not to elect the high sparrow, because if the mayor gets to decide what the safety or morals of the borough is, we'll all be walking around with marks on our head.
Let alone bad food.
So that'd be a tough life downstairs for 30 days.
If it's a bad meal, you can just...
Mr. Wilson.
I think it's a great idea, but I do have, the only thing I see is I know Pitt got swarmed by the trucks that they finally had to read. They had to work theirs back down, where they have to park for only 4 hours and then have to move it to two streets away and not in view. Because
this is still subject to all of the restrictions of our zoning ordinance. And our zoning ordinance clarifies where food trucks can park. So it says that a food truck cannot park on a main artery street. So you cannot park a food truck on South Braddock Avenue. You would have to put it on a not artery street.
East End, Savannah, Mifflin.
Correct. So we think that will cut back on a lot of the problems. We also still have in here that the mobile food vendor needs to apply for an application, which the borough can deny. So if we have if we are overrun with food trucks on a particular Saturday, we can deny.
How often are the permits good for? One day, one
week? It's good for 1 day. You can apply, that's in our fee resolution, you can apply for a 1 day permit or a 1 week permit.
That's it. We can't get 20 of them out there that have a monthly permit or something.
No, and it wouldn't make sense for them to apply for a weekly permit. They would probably just apply for a day.
So, if I may, the process would be that a person would come in, they would go to the police department with all of their papers, and they would fill out an application.
Correct.
The police department then checks to make sure that everything is in order.
Yes.
And then they would issue a license.
Correct.
And would notify you of the license?
Yes.
I mean, how, you know, so that we're keeping track of this?
Yes.
The borough administration.
Normally they get turned into the front office and we make a copy of everything and hand it over to the police department for final approval.
Okay. And then the mayor can suspend a license.
Yes.
And it says here, appeals from any suspension may be made to the borough council at any time within 10 days. Does it say that, do we have the right then to overturn a suspension? I mean, they can appeal to us, but if we don't have, there's nowhere in here that says that we really have anything to do with this. Just ask
Mr. Berry, would they be able to overturn?
As John said, this was the existing ordinance.
Understood.
Your question relates to a matter which is contained in the original ordinance, which John did not.
I'm not saying who did what. I'm just asking this particular one. If somebody comes to us and they're, you know, making mountain pies, and the chief or the mayor doesn't like mountain pies because he thinks they're wrong.
I think what that is intended to do generally is the mayor is the front line. He has jurisdiction over enforcement of this ordinance. And what the sentence means, that the appeals shall be made to borough council, who will issue who will have a hearing. That is strictly intended to comply with the local agency law.
Okay, but there's just nothing in here that says...
Where you have to give somebody due process. So our due process would be the borough council.
Okay, it's just implied here. It's not stated here. You know, so someone can appeal to us, but there's nothing here that says that we can overturn a suspension.
There's no question that you can't. That's what the intent of that is.
Okay. We may want to consider having some language in there that at least delineates the ability for council to overturn a suspension in this particular ordinance. I'm just throwing it out there because, you know, it's implied, but it's not stated.
Well,
and the mayor and council get along great, but if you have, a council and a mayor who don't get along, and the mayor says, well, they can appeal to you, but nothing in here says that you have the right to overturn my suspension. I'm just thinking 100 years down the line when we're all gone, because we all sing kumbaya here, but you know what I'm saying?
That's fine with me.
Just a suggestion.
Be added without redoing first reading. We can do that in between.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to advertise.
I want to hear it again. In its entirety.
Let's vote. Yeah, have the first reading, and then there'll be a motion to advertise, and then we'll have a hearing about it. And right now we're bringing up, you know, so if we're going to make.
We weren't planning to have a public hearing.
Oh, okay.
We all can. Right.
We don't have to. But if we want to make any changes, we need to be able to discuss them.
Right. Add a phrase or a sentence that expressly gives us the right to.
You know, can appeal to the appeals made.
Can vote to overturn the mayor's.
Council may decide to overturn these.
Yeah, and that's what it can be. Appeals from any suspension can be made to the borough council at any time within 10 days after such suspension. At that time, council may overturn the suspension. Just add, you know, a couple words. Mr. Mayor, do you?
I'm agreeing with you. As a layperson, this is vague, and if it were there, then it's clear it's a layperson.
Council can then veto what the mayor does.
Well, we're able to overturn suspensions upon an appeal in some other things. I just want to, and that's clearly stated. I just want to, and Mr. Mayor agrees with me here, you know, that it's just helpful to have this.
I agree with you that. I think we should add a sentence along.
Or a phrase, if you would.
We should add a sentence that says simply, council may decide to overturn the suspension.
Okay. I will draw my second.
You don't have to withdraw your second. Go ahead, Dr. Wallace.
So I would second as amended, but is it necessary? Because that's my question for the mayor, or for the solicitor. Is it implied that we have that right over ordinance?
I think it is, but Pat's point is that it's not explicit. It could be better written from the point of view that as appeal is to council, what does council do?
Right. I mean, we're talking about business people, and I want it to be clear, you know, to business people what the process would be, and let each one of us have the ability to do and not do.
So the mayor doesn't have like 30 funnel cake trucks in here every week.
That was my only. Anyone? Any other? Mr.
That still work if they get. Say that it starts getting out of hand and we start denying permits. Can they come back for a denial of permit? Or just a suspended permit?
No, a permit can be denied based on
anything.
Public safety. If we think that there are too many, it's becoming a nuisance.
That's a good point, because if the permit is denied...
It's not suspended.
Well, I think that probably goes to the zoning hearing board. That doesn't say what happens with the permit. Has to be due process.
Right, and it would go to the hearing board.
Yep. Right.
Any other questions? We'll play back the tape for you, okay?
That's section 7 again.
We have a court reporter reading.
Okay.
I just wanted
to
state as well for the discussion that this has been shared with local businesses who own food trucks. Going to those businesses and giving them a copy of the draft so that they had an opportunity to weigh in with any thoughts that they had.
Good. Thank you. And thank you for your work, Mr. Wainwright. It's much appreciated. Ms. Bassanini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bray.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Aye.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye. And the first reading of ordinance 1053, amending ordinance 856 passes. Motion to advertise.
I move to advertise ordinance number 1053, transient retail businesses.
Second.
Questions or comments? Ms. Bassanini, you call the roll.
Mr. Bray.
Aye.
Dr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wainwright.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Dr. Petrola.
Aye.
Mr. Fuller.
Yes.
Ms. Schaefer.
Aye, and the motion passes. Business meeting. Volunteer Fire Department, Mr. Reynolds.
Hello. Just one question, actually, about 1053. I couldn't hear you very well in the back. Are we going to be required to get a license for us to, because we're transiently selling food?
That's community day.
So that's exempt?
Plus they're not.
Right. Yeah, it's community day.
Okay. Just want to make sure you can hear all. Speaking of community day, so we're going to be doing things a little bit differently this year, and we've been in communication with Julie, and we've been in communication with public safety about this. In addition to our typical chicken and rib dinner that we will offer again this year, we'll also be selling veggie burgers and hot dogs to provide some variety for those people who are vegetarians, and also for kids, you know, mine notwithstanding, so that they there's something down there for them to eat as well. Is there going to be other food that's going to be served down there? Justin, you're cooking?
Well, what's it called? The guys who do the beer, these are selling hot dogs.
Right, okay, we knew about them. Okay.
Who else is coming?
Thus far, we only have firm commitments from D's to sell hot dogs, from the Pittsburgh Crepe Truck to sell sweet and savory crepes, and from Biddle's Escape.
Okay. All right.
We've also been in touch with Saucy Mamas, but I don't have a firm commitment yet.
We are also going to be, so D's will be serving beer, which we'll be applying for the license to have down there. Their proceeds will come back to us. We are also going to be holding the first of what I hope is going to be an annual event, a purse bash. So essentially what will happen is that we're going to ask to start serving alcohol about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Between 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock, we'll be giving away high-end purses, and we're selling tickets to those. Please feel free to buy as many tickets as you like. And then every hour during that period of time, we'll be drawing and giving away these bags. And so we're hoping to turn this into a bit of a bigger fundraiser than what we've typically been able to make in the past. Go ahead.
You want to start serving the alcohol at 1?
Love to.
I don't know if D's can commit to that.
We're actually in conversations with him about that. If he can't facilitate,
can you see me on this? Because I think that there had been discussions about only doing the alcohol in the evening to make the day still more kid focused. But if council wants to change that, that's fine. I just want to make sure we have a discussion about that.
The reason behind it, while you're thinking, the reason behind this is because what we'd like to do is sell a ticket that acts as sort of an entry into the entire thing. So rather than selling a ticket for just $20 last year, which would get you 3 beers, it would be a ticket for entry into the purse bash plus the alcohol as well. And then have different prices. One would be inclusive of a hot dog, for example. So we wanted to start in the afternoon, and we want to keep people coming and wanting to buy, which is why we're literally going to be selling bags, if our math works out and the price is right, every 15 minutes until 7 o'clock in the evening. So we'd like to sort of keep the festivity going throughout the afternoon. That's the reason behind it. And we would love to take up space somewhere far away from where the family activities are going on.
I got in their fire department meeting while they were grinding out all the purses and the numbers and all the tickets they had to sell and that stuff. It seemed like we had a plan together.
I don't think selling beer, I don't think people are going to show up like
drink beer.
You know what I mean? Like at 1 o'clock, I don't think there's going to be like this huge rush of people and they're going to be drinking all day. I don't think that'll happen at Edgewood Day. I mean, we don't really have the numbers of people.
Well, the other thing that I want to make sure that have people assessing consumption by individuals so that we don't have people getting so inebriated down there that we run into trouble.
Appreciate that, and we'll be working obviously with the police, and we'll have people working there, we'll have volunteers in there, you know, assessing, looking and assessing sobriety to the degree that, you know, that that they can tell. But think about the conditions that you want us to operate under with this. This is what we put forward as an, this is something that we've put forward as a significant revenue source for us for the year.
No, I understand that, you know, and it, I'm not saying, and I'm not hearing anyone say that this is not something that's possible. We're just also throwing out considerations that may not have been thought about and that we have to look at from, you know, the big picture with respect to, you know, the borough. I don't think that there's going to be a big rush at 1 o'clock to hit the liquor. When are we having the cornhole tournament start?
I don't know. I'm not sure when they want to do that. Probably not until that. Probably not until the like
5 or 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be all day.
Well, yeah. I didn't know. You know that you, you know, because
5 or 6, but it will depend on.
Okay.
The more people, the earlier we'll have to get it started to get it off.
Okay. So those are just some of the things. Yes, Dr. Wood.
So, a couple things. One, I don't think that it's a problem because for me, when I'm in town, I mean, I'm either missing it on the early end or missing it on the back end, so I think extending the time is good. But the other is community day defined in hours, or is it just the day?
From noon until fireworks.
Okay, so you're fine.
Yeah, we set the time.
Well, I'm just saying because what we just read was according to lifting the ban during community day, so I just want to make sure that
where are they planning to set up this year? Is it the upper court again or move to the lower court, which if you're worried about,
we can move to the lower court. The lower court is in better shape, so we wanted the spills to happen on the court that's not in as good of
we'll hose it down.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we can move to the lower court. Because we did get complaints from the Boy Scouts last year about having it. Cub Scouts about having alcohol at all. So if we move it down away from them, I think that would be better.
Mr. Bear?
Did we ever charge for a community day before?
No, this is just for this section.
Well,
and yes, we did
section.
Last year.
Okay. So you're selling tickets, and part of selling the tickets is you get 3 beers. Is that what you're saying?
Well, so the plan is much more broad than that now because what we're hoping is that the ticket will not only buy you beer, 3 beers, however many we decide upon.
My question is there 3 beers? Is that what we're selling tickets for?
No, that's not what I'm saying, not anymore. So what I'm saying is that the ticket will get you entry into the purse batch, make you get your name into the hat to be eligible for one of these purses, and beer. Whether it's 3 beers, 4 beers, 5 beers, however many beers.
The reason why I'm asking my only comment is the borough council should decide what hours. This is a borough-sponsored event. So borough council should decide what hours you want alcohol served and the limits on it. And I'm advising you to consider them.
Yeah.
Not to say, oh, sell beer.
No, that's what we're doing.
Please.
And that's what I'm asking for. Whatever conditions, if we need to know what those conditions would be so that we can appropriately operationalize.
I also want to make sure that we are okay in terms of the county and the drink tax, which we avoided paying last year because we said that it was just the beer was free. We were giving away the beer, and if you gave a donation, you could, that was your choice. So if we put up a sign that says $20 gets you 3 beers and a ticket for the purse raffle, can we put up a sign that just says $20 gets you a ticket to the purse raffle? And entry, well,
entry,
if it's entry, we still have to pay tax. The only way we get around the tax is if we say we're literally giving it away, and then out of the goodness of your heart want to give a donation.
The beer is donated, so we want
to suggest a donation.
The next thing is how people get the money to the fire department.
It has to literally be free to avoid the tax. So last year we said it was free.
Beer is donated.
We didn't say
tickets are
$20.
To go to the fire department.
Okay. Donation. Gave what they felt they should give. If we put a limit on it, I just want to make sure we're still okay that way. So if it's $20 for tickets for the purse raffle, then let's say it's $20 for tickets to the purse raffle. We still have to say that the beer garden is free.
Let me take that back.
Well, and my suggestion, if it's our of council, is to work with Ms. Bastianini about the particulars, because you know what needs to be done with respect to.
It's not insurmountable.
It's not insurmountable. I'm not hearing from council that a 1 o'clock start is an issue. No one's raising that, correct? All right, so I'm not hearing that's an issue, but we do want to, you know, there are things that we want to make sure, and it sounds like you have that in working with the chief, that you have that in order. I mean, it's not to say that people who come down to Community Day when it starts at noon doesn't bring a cooler of beer. I mean, you know, honestly. So it's just that this is something that the volunteer fire department is, you know, sponsoring with D's and with the borough, and that makes it different than your own personal responsibility.
Understood wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Let us know what the conditions are.
What I'm saying is work with Julie then. 1 o'clock sounds fine, but, you know, as far as the nuts and bolts of this new thing, and then Julie can get back with us and, talk with public safety or whatever the concerns may be. And also, you know, if there's something we need to have checked out with the solicitor, we want to do that just for all of our protection.
Sir?
I'm not going to have too much more to say about it.
No.
Because I think it's entirely up to you.
Right.
And I'm not going to say do it at such and such a time or whatever. I'm not going to tell you that. I just say that.
Right, and I there's a consensus that it seems okay, and location, you know, we'll let the nuts and bolts be worked out, sit down with Julie and, yes, Mr. Wilson?
Last year there weren't any problems at all. I thought it went really smooth.
It went very smoothly, and we're not saying that it's not going to go smoothly. Yeah. We're not saying that.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just saying it was.
You know, we're just making sure that we have a repeat success. It was a wonderful thing. Everybody had a great time, and we would like to duplicate that. And in order to do that, you know, you reassess what worked and how can we make it better. And we want to make it better for everyone. And in doing that, we may need to massage the text.
Right? Message received.
Okay.
This would be great for us. All right. We've had 60 calls for the month. On behalf of the fire department, I'd like to thank council for their outpouring of support and well wishes for those of us that were that ended up in the emergency room after the Swissvale fire. Many of you may have seen us on the news doing high-rise practices down at the old Braddock Hills Holiday Inn. It's perfect for destroying walls and destroying doors, and that was that worked out very well for us. Also, today is the last day of our FEMA grant, and this year we've awarded 5 new scholarships and 3 renewals. So it's been very successful for us. I'll take any questions.
Once again, please thank you and the department for their volunteering and their energy and enthusiasm and their willingness to protect and serve, and also for the community activities that you do and partner with us.
Pleasure.
Appreciate it very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Recreation.
I have a comment, and that is There will be no liquor liability insurance.
And we had that checked out last year.
Pardon me?
We have that checked out every year.
Correct.
You discuss it with the insurance people?
Yes, we have the same host liability that you would have if you were having a party at your own home. But since we are not serving, since D's is serving, which is why we have to make sure they can be there to serve from 1 o'clock until it closes, the liability is on D's since it's their bartenders.
Okay, so they're
not going to be a problem.
Because
they're going to be tearing down from the other thing and then come back.
Just asking.
Yeah, they're tearing down from the park after the run. And then they're going to build back up.
The run is a different day this year.
Oh.
The run is not the same day as Community Day.
That's what they were talking about last year, so it's probably not going to be right.
They're not
going to talk
he said, I'll talk to you guys.
These can do it. I don't have a problem with it, but I don't want anybody else to.
I've seen them actually stop people from getting more beer after the run.
How do you?
People.
I was right behind you. Yes, it's supposed to leave.
They who shall not be named.
They do an excellent job. They can be there, we're good.
They're nice about it, though.
Vigilant. That's
A light beer, maybe. But they're pretty. They're good, and I think that having a bartender, they have liability insurance.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. As long as they're there, we're okay.
Yeah. Just want to make sure that all the ducks are in line. That's all. So everybody has a good time and nobody worries. Recreation report, Ms. Bastianini.
Thank you, Madam President. Movies in the Park will begin next Monday, June 8th. We will be playing the movie Cars, and it will begin at dusk, so please bring your blankets and your lawn chairs and come watch with us. This is part of our new effort this year to try to get more people to come to Movies in the Park. We are paying for the rights for 2 movies, and Cars is one of them, and we're hoping that having a good name movie will get some more people there. T-ball and softball are beginning practices this week. We have 29 T-ball players and 17 softball players. They'll be playing throughout the months of June and July. And the field is still being used by the 14th ward. And that's all I have.
Every other week again?
Every other week. Well, it's the second and fourth Mondays.
Second and fourth Mondays.
With respect to the cornhole, we played it at the street picnics. The guys were playing it, and we had some. I said, you know, we could probably get a street team.
Okay.
And I think council was going to challenge the police department, weren't we?
Certainly can.
I think we should.
Yeah, that's true.
Come on, where's your sense of fun and adventure?
Yeah, let's take it.
I've been practicing. I practiced all Memorial Day weekend. So
and the fire, just make it around. Council, fire, police, and go at it. Just a little bragging rights between the three.
Water Authority report, Mr. Fuller.
Thank you. Much of the report was taken up, much of the meeting was taken up by a report from Pierce Park Group on their pensions. They've done very, very, very well. Upper averages in every category. They appointed a new lawyer for the arbitration since Mr. Berry was not able to do it. Robert Abraham. Familiar with him? He was the last one left when they struck everybody else out.
I don't think Council knew that story, but I was selected as an arbitrator for a case involving
brief description of the case was that the contract says that healthcare, they're responsible for a certain percentage of the healthcare, capped at 12% increase. And they actually had a small decrease this year, so the union thought that the contribution would go down because the increase has been so high. Still, you know, bound to that contract language of 5%. So the healthcare actually not a small amount. Your employee contribution not a small amount. The union contribution went down because the premiums themselves went down. So
I'm glad I didn't hear the case that I ruled against.
Interestingly enough, they lowered the fluoride limits for water authorities in the
Pennsylvania. Oh, God.
That's a minor amount. They went down from the, before I think it was 0.8 to 1.2 ppm, and now it's down to 0.7 as a recommended level.
Dentist lobbies.
The dentist, yeah. So that's about it. One other quick note is that we're all getting monthly bills now, and I don't know if you saw the article about the PWSA being sued because of their bills. That's not going to happen with Wilkinsburg Penjoint because they bought all their radio read meters from the same vendor. PWSA ended up buying from three different vendors, and the software is not going to be
Fuller, Planning Commission, Mayor Cook.
Nothing to report.
Council of Governments, Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, we did meet. It was a good meeting. They put out a lot of money on demolition of properties. Wilkinsburg got like 18. Everyone's kind of mad at them because they won the big one. And Braddock was the big winner, actually. They also brought up the land bank, some big training, and Amanda went out to the other side of Gettysburg to do a presentation and learn training seminar about land banks. And they're not quite, they're still waiting to get one or two in the hopper, but slowly moving on. But the school just signed on. I mean, the rest of the signatures they're still digging up, trying to go on. And as we know, Woodland Hills signed on to it, and they thought that was a great thing. They also want to start a maybe possible tactical training for police officers group. Ours have to have qualifications once a year, and they might be doing it. And Chief said he's going to be looking into it too, for going after grants to get the equipment. And then it would just cost our time for our officers to get certified in tactical training, which is coming down the pike is needed. I thought that was interesting. I asked the chief, but he wasn't here to speak on it. He's going to look into that too. He was finding it interesting. They're just starting to have to learn more about it. To see if we want to be part of that or not. And the cable franchise, which I think you've been talking about, you might want to...
Yes, I've got a report on that in my report.
Basically, that was about it, was going on. And the Vector, and like usual, if we have any, they're trying to fill up their space time slot for their Vector. And ours is running just fine. I talked to our guys, so we won't be needing it. Oh, and the new truck is in.
Okay. Borough Solicitor Report.
Thank you, Madam President. I have reviewed this evening the contracts for the road improvement program for 2015, and we have the exact same issue we had last time, which is that the specifications of Glenn Smith provide for $1 million worth of workers' compensation insurance, and the contractor has only $500,000. And this is not my issue, but this is what, because I think $500,000 sounds pretty good to me. In other words, you know, what's the likelihood that you have a workers' comp claim that's more than $500,000? But I believe that that's the issue. So, I didn't write the spec. If Leonard Smith is going to change that spec because now we have two contracts and you have to comply with it, this is a very good certificate of insurance. It's got excess coverage and bells and whistles and yada, 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 back in the 90s. But in any event, it doesn't meet the spec. And I'm supposed to sign off on these documents and so there it is.
What did we do last time?
We had this issue with the playground, didn't
we? We got them to change it.
Yeah,
got them to change it.
Right, but we, you know, it was like, you know, a little bit of a song and a dance, but we got them to change it. Contractor initially said, you know, put in your hat. He did. That's exactly what he said.
talk to them again and see if they can.
Either that, or I'm very comfortable if Jason wants to just wave the specter and, you know, say it's okay, but I'm not going to say it's okay.
Why don't you?
What about the next contractor? Should they have it, or is no contracts?
Well, I don't know. It seems to me that the industry norm is $500,000.
Last year's paving did have the $1 million. It was the playground that had the $500,000 coverage that the man who was so nice to Tim.
Maybe they didn't have it last time either. I just didn't see it.
I think last year's paving had it, and I believe our sewers have $1 million. So this is a problem now we've had with the paving contractor and the playground contractor. I will see if we can get them to change it, if it would be a big deal. If not, we can talk to our engineers and see if we can get a recommendation.
I mean, we're supposed to start the contract today, right?
Our pre-construction meeting is this week.
Okay. Well, you know, that's... So I'm going to give these back to you. I signed them, but they're not signed by everybody else. And... we can proceed with it, and I think we ought to address that.
So, get it addressed, and then let me know when I'm signing.
Okay.
I'm here this week, so.
Okay.
That's all I have.
All right, thank you. For a manager report. Thank you, Madam President. As Mr. Wilson mentioned, the borough's cable franchise agreement with Verizon will expire in 36 months. 36 months out is when you get the ball rolling on a new cable franchise agreement. Verizon has sent a letter to the borough requesting that they would like to renew the agreement. In the past, I know not always, but sometimes, the COG has negotiated these contracts for all of the member municipalities using RAD funds. And at our last manager's meeting, this was on the agenda, and we all thought that this would be a good use for the RAD funds if the COG board agrees with us. We all have pretty much the same contract. It's better, I think, to negotiate with the cable companies in a larger group. We get the maximum amount of revenue that the state allows currently. What you look for in these negotiations are what's included as revenue. So currently, say late fees are not included as revenue, so the borough does not receive 5% of the late fees. So those are the types of things that we would be looking to include in the contract. The RAD fees won't cover the whole amount. The COG is currently getting proposals from law firms to negotiate. And last time that they did it, it cost $28,000 total for all of the COG municipalities, and the COG paid $20,000. So the $8,000 was divided up between the communities that were involved. So I think this is certainly less than if we would do this ourselves, and I think that there will be a good outcome. Did you have a question about that?
But it can wait if you want to
do a full report. A reminder that Connect will hold its June executive session in Edgewood on Thursday, June 18th at 10 a.m. If any of you would like to attend here in the borough. This week we have a pre-construction meeting with the sewer contractor, the engineer, and myself on Thursday, and a street paving pre-construction meeting on Wednesday. After that, and we have the contracts to review, we'll give them notice to proceed, and as soon as we get these issues worked out, I think that we'll have an early jump on our paving season. Last year we started a little late, so I'm more comfortable with this time frame. Allegheny County is updating their hazard mitigation plan. They do this every 5 years. Edgewood Borough is cooperating and providing them with information about the borough and our own hazards to ensure that our concerns are included in the county's draft plan. It'll be a little while before the update is finalized, but it first has to be approved by FEMA and then by the county, and then the borough will be sent a resolution to pass as well. But we have made sure that everything that's included in our plan has been provided to them so they can include it in theirs. Now that it's summertime, our code enforcement officer has begun to again send letters to homeowners whose sidewalks and curbs are damaged, tripped hazards, or do not meet the borough ordinances. We did a pretty thorough round of this 2 or 3 years ago, so the numbers are getting smaller for the letters that we're sending out, but we're trying to make sure that we do get everybody in compliance to keep our community walkable. Also, as you guys know, the borough recently joined the Allegheny County Vacant Property Recovery Program. They are currently accepting applications this summer at a reduced rate. They are waiving the county's fees if you're applying for a side lot and reducing it to $1,000 if you're applying for a structure. I know that we have several residents who are interested in purchasing side lots. I've heard of three so far. So please encourage anybody who you might know that's interested in scooping up a piece of land for a less than market value amount to apply for this program. The county will approve up to 5 applications for any municipality, and if they don't receive a lot, that number can be changeable. So we are hopeful that some of these applications will turn over some properties and get them back on the tax.
Is that something we're going to advertise?
Yes, we have advertised it in the June-July newsletter. We also have banners, posters for the program at the library, at the borough building, and at the recreation board at the field. It's also been on our website and emailed out to residents. And the last thing is all of our council members and mayor are present tonight, so if you don't mind, before you guys leave, I'd like to get a photo. We don't have a photo for this year.
Okay. We haven't changed.
And that's all I have.
Yes, Dr. Wallace, you had a question?
So as far as the vacant lots, side lots. Mm-hmm. How many of those are there? There can't be that many. And if there are, I mean, this seems like something we should encourage. Can we advertise what those are? So maybe somebody is sitting next to one that they don't even know.
There are more than you would think. Let's start there. Because there are a lot that are odd angled lots, you know, very skinny pieces of property between two other properties. So there's more of those than you might think, rather than a house was burned down.
Right.
There's one where a house was burned down on Walnut, and somebody is applying for a sidewalk for that property. The county is the only one that really tells you whether a property is eligible or not. I don't have access to, for example, you have to be tax delinquent for up to 3 years. I don't have access to the school district. So we are trying to advertise this program. Certain residents who have reached out to complain about maybe a nuisance property that's next to them, I've made sure to reach out to them to make them aware of the program in case they want to purchase that property. It's hard to tell some of those little odd-shaped lots, though.
Tax rules that should be.
I'm hoping that, like I said, I know 3 people who are applying this month, so I'm hopeful that we can get at least one of them approved and back on the rolls.
Are there any properties that we might be interested for parking or whatever, or maintenance shed or something?
I can look into it further. I don't think at this point there is, but it's something that we can look at.
Anything back from Gongler?
We did not. I plan to reach out to his attorney this week.
I also heard that the property right next to Gongler is probably available. It was sold for $5,000, and the lady might be coming back up, and we have to encourage to put it back up, I think. We should do that if we have.
We have been trying to get in touch with the person who purchased that property at Sheriff's.
Dr. Guy last night owns the other 2 buildings next to it, and he's like, he has their number. And I was like, well, get it to me, so.
That'd be great, yeah.
So the franchise, the cable franchise. So it's not just getting revenue or income from that. It's also the infrastructure throughout the borough, correct?
It's also what?
The infrastructure, the cable. So one thing to consider, and I only know this because I've had a few internal discussions with them, is Google. So they selected a few metropolitan areas to expand their fiber. Pittsburgh initially lost out to Kansas City, of all places. But they may be interested in using these types of agreements with municipalities to expand that fiber network, and we do not have a very good network infrastructure throughout the borough.
That would be great if they're interested in expanding in the borough. According to the law,
theoretically, the cable companies are supposed to share infrastructure.
Well, right, but it's whomever gets the contract is responsible to put it in, and then sell it back. So if we have Verizon, Comcast pays Verizon for the use of the lines.
Yeah, well, we do have fiber, though.
Does Comcast offer fiber?
Verizon, and they have fiber.
Yes, fiber does. I wasn't sure if Comcast offered it.
Yeah, but the fiber, so Google is at a gig. And so it's basically at least 100 times what Verizon has, faster.
Okay, now Verizon has announced they're going to upgrade their fiber. I got a notice on this a couple weeks ago. I don't know what that means.
Faster. Fios has built a booster.
Faster. Angry cats or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, it's good to bring more people to the table. Yeah, more competition, hopefully.
Absolutely, and Edgewood is lucky that you have two options. A lot of municipalities don't, because they don't want to compete against each other. They
make an agreement.
Right. They, you know.
Well, Monroeville has their own phone company. One.
So I mean, the fact that our residents have two options to choose from.
Private phone company.
Really? Which means we also get two franchise cases.
Well, here's the question. Did Verizon put fiber on every street in Edgewood?
Yes. I mean, if it's available. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
They said they did, but I didn't know if they really did.
I'd also like to work into the contract more audits of their books to make sure that we're getting what we're owed.
3 years out?
Yes, is when the process begins.
And how long is that agreement? 15 years?
No, it's far less than that.
10 or so.
I think the last one was 7.
It's really hard to plan for.
Do we currently have an agreement that is the same agreement as everybody else in August? Is this what we did last
time?
With
Comcast. The COG did an agreement for Comcast and not for Verizon.
And we have Verizon.
We have both.
We have both.
Yes.
So how did we get both?
They decided that they were both going to offer services in this area.
Okay, so we don't have an exclusive then.
We do not.
When was the last time this agreement was done?
Verizon.
I don't remember doing an agreement here for Edgewood.
Comcast one was done through the COG, and that was the most recent. That was done in 2009. The Verizon agreement, I think, was 7 years ago, 10-year agreement with Verizon. So,
how much money do we get out of that?
It's a rubber stamp.
It's about $9,000 a quarter for
each
of them.
Much.
More or less, so five more pay-per-view.
$18,000 a quarter or $9,000 total?
$9,000 each, so about $18,000 a quarter we get. Depending on subscribers and what.
Right. Do we have any opinion about which is better, Comcast or Verizon? Do we use the same agreement? They both pay us the same 5%?
Yes, they both pay us 5%. It's just that our residents have an option.
So does it include the same services?
For the most part, it includes the same services. Are you asking, do they pay revenue on the same things? We're doing a side-by-side comparison right now to see that. It's not written in the same language. They don't word things the same way, so you've really got to take a detailed look at them and see. But right now, it does not look to me like Verizon pays.
Other questions?
So the COG would be negotiating with Comcast?
The COG would hire a solicitor, most likely Cohen, to to negotiate with Verizon.
Verizon or Comcast?
This is with Verizon. Our contract with Comcast is not due to expire soon. That one was renewed in 2009. So what I have brought to council is that the COG is looking for quotes and proposals to negotiate a franchise agreement with Verizon.
Okay, and all the communities of the COG also have agreements with Verizon?
Correct.
All right. We're good?
We're good. We're good. Unless you have anything else for me.
Okay. Anything else? Yes.
Good job Julie's doing for getting hammered on the phone by a couple of rude neighbors.
Nothing happened, but thanks.
Yeah. Some not deserving. To a point where she should have hung up on him.
Some were.
Some were just rude.
People like to vent.
Well.
You shouldn't take that.
No. There's no reason to be rude to any of our staff and particularly the borough manager. So we apologize for resident rudeness.
No need to apologize.
I would like to share with council, I did go to the update by the school board, meet the superintendent. It was actually a really good meeting. They talked about the reconfiguration of the district. Edgewood is going to be K through 3, which make folks happy instead of going to 6th grade. And Wilkins will be K through 3. The 4, 5, and 6 will be where the and then the high school will be 7, 8, and they're going to, and they've done this before, they separate the 7th and 8th graders from the high school, and they've been very successful in doing that. Superintendent, I really like Dr. Johnson, or Mr. Johnson, he's genuinely a good person, but he's also on the ball with things. I don't know whether you all know this. I didn't. Woodland Hills High School won a bronze award from U.S. News and World Report for 2014 and 2015. You never hear this stuff, so I'm sharing it with you, and we're going to put it in the newsletter. The average, I don't know what SPP stands for, gross scores of over 70% for reading, math, and biology district-wide, with literature growth rising to 96%. There's science and technology, mathematics, K through 12. After-school tutoring. The Woodland Hills Musical won 10 Gene Kelly Awards this last Saturday. Best musical, best direction, best crew. I mean, every year the high school puts on a spectacular musical. Musical will be Peter Pan. They pay for that through selling ads, and it's amazing what they're able to do. He did talk about the things that get reported, and all of us work with statistics, and you know how statistics can be reported or not. And he said that there really are, on a whole, fewer incidents on the Safe School Report. They have 10 years of average experience of teachers is 10.7 years. They have laptops and, they have everything. And it's unfortunate that the school district doesn't get the good things that it has promoted as much as it does the negative. He talked about the charter schools, and part of the there's an act that they're trying to get passed. What is it? Fair trade or fair fee for schools. The charter schools get a certain amount of money, and whenever the school district raises its tax, the charter school gets more money, the same increment. So there's never a break even for the public schools, and they're trying to get that fixed, that calculation fixed. So hopefully that will happen. We did talk about they always talk about the parking back there, and we did talk about it. I brought it up because I said, you know, with them going through back to K through 3, the parking was going to come up, and I said that Mayor Cook and I and Marilyn Messina were on a committee about 10 years ago that talked about parking and green space, and that they had had architects design that we were in favor of, and that we were, you know, wanting to partner with the school district. And I threw out to them another idea that if they could find those drawings, that we might, you know, come together and partner with them and apply for grants through Nine Mile Run, Three Rivers Wet Weather, and Alcosan, and maybe with the foundation to be a pilot study for permeable pavement, energy efficient lighting, and rain gardens, and you know, a way to do water management, wet weather management, that could be incorporated into the science curriculum for the school and pull together the high school and the environmental club. And and Daryl Rapp also said, you know, we've got Pitt and CMU that are involved in environmental design, and that, you know, we could really cast the net wide. It's a small area, which makes it nice. It would be an intermunicipal opportunity working with the school district, and also help be a prototype maybe for other municipalities and school districts that are reconfiguring due to, you know, a number of reasons. So anyway, they were very, very happy to hear that, and we're going to go back to, you know, pull up those things. And I told them to contact you, and that we would set up a meeting. I just spoke with Mayor Cook about it. It's an opportunity for us to, you know, once again, be on the forefront of something, and also to right. Well, that, and also, you know, for our residents, I think it's great that there's going to, you know, that they have a elementary school that their kids could walk to. And, you know, we've got the environmental charter school, you know. The same thing is here for in the public school. You know, it's just, it's a win-win all the way around. I did tell them about the, you know, the things that we have, the community day. They want to contact you about getting a booth or whatever for that, to have student musicians play at maybe the Chocolate and Wine Affair. They had that the last time there were students. So it was a really positive thing, and suggestions were well received. And, you know, there's good things happening. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I mean, people and things change over the decades, and sometimes you need to take a look at things with fresh eyes and see what's happening. So that's some good news anyway for us as a municipality.
Can Ask a question related to that, because when we first moved into Edgewood, which was 98, I don't know if it was because we were new residents. We routinely got the Woodland Hills newsletter, the school district's newsletter. I haven't seen it in a decade. So can he at least, Mr. Johnson, I mean, can they at least reach out to our newsletter and include some?
They do sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's rare.
Whenever things happen at the elementary school, we always put in an advertisement for the musical.
I mean, every month would just be a nice little thing.
I did talk to them about that, and I was going to get back to her with Julie's contact information. Her information's there, Julie, so if you could reach out to her. But yeah, you know, they did have an open house for Edgewood, kind of a meet and greet. They've been doing that for all the schools, and the teachers were there, and you know, people could come, and they're going to have teachers write to kids, you know, to kids and parents or whatever who, you know, to introduce themselves. So they really are putting forth an effort, and I think that it should be encouraged.
I mean, if that newsletter's still out there, I mean, it should be easy for them to.
There is something that comes quarterly. It's like a magazine, and it's mostly ads.
Yeah,
in Woodland Hills, it's mostly ads. It's not, you know.
But we do send. We have a list of everybody we send like a reminder newsletter deadline, and they are on there. We do send it to them.
Yeah. So if you reach out to her,
I will
appreciate it because they're really hopeful and enthusiastic about the. That's just one dumb day job. Anything else? Do we need an executive session for anything? Any other business?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The next meeting is June
15th.
Are you getting that the quarterly?